want you to get your Bible out tonight and turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 1. If you've not been able to be here on Wednesday nights or you're a guest, we started 33 Wednesday nights ago talking about the subject of growth and the Christian life. Tonight, another topic, another subject, we're going to talk about growing in regard to your goals in life, your goals. Daniel chapter 1. Once you find Daniel chapter 1, I want you to stand with me. Daniel chapter 1. I want you to find verse number 8. Daniel chapter 1, starting with verse number 8. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this in Daniel 1, 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your face worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hannah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servant, I pray, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. We're going to stop right there. I want you to do yourself a favor. So many times in church, someone will say, let's pray together. What happens? Everybody bows their head and closes their eyes, and one person prays, and everybody else just listens. In all actuality, you should in your heart be agreeing with the prayer. It's a silent prayer within yourself. We don't all pray out loud at one time because that'd get a little confusing. It'd be like at the laundromat with a bunch of women. But as one prays out loud within your heart and in your mind, you should be concentrating on what's being said and virtually agreeing. So it's not just one praying and everybody else listening. It's one praying. Others, as they agree, are talking to God as well. And that way we get a little more oomph in the service out of the prayer of 70 or 80 people opposed to just one. So let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Take the Scripture and use it to change us. I pray, God, that as a result of the Scripture that is taught tonight, that you would make me a better Christian. I pray that you would help somebody. I pray that somebody would be challenged. Somebody that somehow they've gotten their life in a rut. May they get back in the groove of production. May they go forward in their Christianity and their everyday life as a result of the sermon preached tonight. Please, Holy Spirit, do something special for us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. The story of Daniel in the Bible is very well known. It's one of the best known stories in the entire Bible. There are a lot of highlights about this man we know as Daniel. The Hebrews were carried into captivity. It's called the Babylonian captivity. We've heard the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Most of you have heard the story of Daniel interpreting the king's dream. There's a story in the Bible about some writing that came upon a wall, and Daniel got involved and was able to interpret that writing on the wall. Oh, we've heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the burning fiery furnace. We know that Daniel's captor, King Darius, favored Daniel. Matter of fact, he favored Daniel. Remember, Daniel was a slave. He was a captive. But the king found favor upon Daniel, to the point that eventually Daniel was promoted. He was virtually running the country, but he started out as a slave that had been transferred into that country. Now, there are a lot of stories about Daniel. There's one little episode about Daniel that I want to use to kind of springboard the lesson into what I want to teach tonight. And that is in Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8. We looked at it just a moment ago. It uses these words. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Now look back at me, if you will. In the beginning of Daniel's captivity, he was there with his friends. So here's a young man there with his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when they were taken into captivity, the captors wanted Daniel to eat of the meat that the king had provided. Now, the Bible said right there, it said he purposed in his heart that he would not eat that meat. And then it says he would not defile himself with that meat. Now, understand, now Daniel's a he's a captive. The king comes, says, I want the captives to eat this meat. But Daniel had purposed in his heart that he would not eat that meat. And the Bible said Daniel did that because he did not want to defile himself. Now, there's some different reasons. You say, well, what was the big deal about the meat? Well, it might have been pork. And the Jewish people at that time, they didn't eat pork. So maybe they're having hog roast. Now, we don't believe that anymore, so you can have barbecue all you want. But if it were pork, and maybe that's why. Maybe it was meat that had been strangled instead of bled out. I don't know. I believe it is probably because the king was giving the captors meats that had been used for sacrifices to the king's false god. That's what I think. But whatever the case, Daniel had purposed in his heart. That word purpose there. Here, and that's the word that we're going to use tonight. He set a goal. Daniel had set a goal to not do something that he thought would defile himself before God. And so you know, he accomplished that goal. Daniel said, I'm not going to eat that meat. He set a goal not to eat that meat. And the guy that was watching out for Daniel said, now look, Daniel, if you don't eat the meat, you're going to get weak. And then the boss is going to come around and look at you being weak, and you're supposed to be a slave, so you need to stay strong. And if we're not careful here, my boss is going to come get me, Daniel, because you don't eat the meat. And Daniel said, don't worry about it. I'll be just as strong because I'm not going to defile myself. God will help keep me strong. And that's exactly how it turned out. But what I want you to notice is Daniel purposed in his heart. I love that word, purposed. The word goal does not show up in the Bible anywhere. That word is nowhere in the Bible. But the word goal would be much like the word desire. Someone would say they desired to accomplish something. What did that mean? It meant that they had set a goal of accomplishing that. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 19 says, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. And what that means? A goal accomplished is sweet. We all know that. And that's what that's teaching. But the word goal is not in the Bible. The word desire is used in the Bible. The word goal is much like our word ambition, or we would use it for our endeavors. And obviously, the word purpose. He purposed in his heart. The Bible teaches you and I think we ought to be setting certain goals and then striving to accomplish those goals. Listen to this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. It says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. There's someone that was striving for something. What did that mean? They had set a goal and they were working toward that goal. The word goal was not used, but the concept of a goal was there. There was a target that needed to be reached. That's what it meant by striving. That's what it meant by Daniel purposed in his heart. That's what it meant by a desire accomplished. And that verse in 2 Timothy 2, 5, somebody had a goal of mastering something. Let me read it to you again. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? What's happening? Somebody had set a goal of mastering something, and they were to strive or attempt to reach the mastery or to fulfill the goal of developing that ability. Like an athlete sets a goal. An athlete will run a 100-yard dash and set a goal as to improving their time to get there. I've set goals on how many donuts I could eat with one cup of coffee. And I want you to know, I've accomplished those sort of goals in life. But I believe in the Christian life, I think goals can be important. I think there are important elements in our success. There's a man that was a motivator, a Christian man by the name of Zig Ziglar. He said this, people with goals succeed because they know where they're going. Which I might say, there's some of you, you don't have really any goals. And you don't really know where you're going. A man by the name of Lewis said, you are never too old to set a new goal or dream a new dream. John Dewey said, arriving at one goal should be the starting point of the next. Henry Ford said, obstacles are those frightful things you see when you take your eyes off your goal. Abraham Lincoln said, I love this, few words but listen to it, a goal properly set is halfway reached. In other words, he was saying, if you just set a goal, you're halfway there. Because the average person has no goals. Vince Lombardi, the goal of perfection is not attainable. But if we chase perfection, we can catch excellence. Let me ask you a question. And look right this way and listen. What are your life's goals? Do you have any? If you sat before me tonight and you say, my life's kind of humdrum, just get up in the morning and live it and get it over with, and, you know, some goals will make a difference. You will feel aimless without goals in life. Daniel purposed in his heart. You know what that meant? Daniel had himself a little pep rally one day, and Daniel said, they're going to come tell me to eat that meat, and I'm setting a goal right now, but for myself, before God, I'm not eating the meat. I hate to say this because there are so many other Hebrew children that were mixed up in that captivity deal, but Daniel took a stand. And from all indications, a bunch of the rest did not. But Daniel did. And he is the most faithful of those Hebrew children because he took a stand. He set a goal and he reached that goal and it was a worthy goal. I've set goals. I set goals when I was a young man. I set a goal of getting married and stay married. I set a goal of keeping my family in the right kind of church. I set a goal that I really wanted to preach to the day I die. And there's some people that could make that come true. Some of them like to kill me today. I set a goal, and this might not seem hard to you, but I set a goal when I was a young man, and I clamped on to the standards and the convictions and the old-time religion in the Baptist church that I went to. And I said when I was a 16-year-old boy that was called to preach, when I'm 86 years of age, I still want to believe the same way. I still want to preach the same way. I still want to use the same book and have the same dress code and the same standards and knock on wood or cross my fingers, whatever I'm supposed to do by the grace of Almighty God. You check on what I used to preach when I was 16 and check on what I preach today. I still preach the same thing. But that was my goal. I set that goal as a young man. I know all sorts of preachers didn't set a goal like that. And their churches aren't the same anymore. Because as the world went, they went. And here I am making that goal public again, putting pressure on myself. But I set that as a goal. You know, I'd rather shoot at something and miss than shoot at nothing and hit. Let me share with you just a few ideas about goals. And these are going to be so simple, we'll be out of here before you know it. Well, maybe not for a couple of you. I want to point something out to you. The Bible tells us very, very clearly that Satan has goals for your life. So my first point is, I think you need to know Satan has goals for your life. His goal is that you sin. His goal is, if you're unsaved here tonight, his goal is that you stay unsaved. That's his goal. His goal is that you not reach God's goals for your life. Satan does not, hey, and I'll tell you this, so you know, Satan does not mind if you do what you want. Or you do what he wants, just as long as you don't do what God wants. Satan has a goal. He wants you to set your own goal, but don't set God's goals for your life. Listen, Satan has a goal that you set no goals. Then that you reach no goals. Could I ask you a question? If Satan's goal is that you set no goals, is his goal coming true in your life? Is Satan reaching his goal in your life? Do you know there are some of you that had a little bit of fire when you were young people, when you were a little younger, maybe in high school, maybe in what we would call your collegiate years, and you had some fire about you, and you had some goals that you were going to have in life. But you know what happens? You live a little bit of life, and you give up your goals. You stop setting goals. You had them when you were 16 or 17 or 18 or maybe at the time where you were in college. And I'll tell you something, a lot of you accomplished and went forward and made something happen back then. Hey, but you have any goals now? Life kind of happens to you. But let me tell you something, rather than letting life happen to you, why don't you happen to life? Why don't you get a goal in life? And some of you that when you were younger, you had goals. You remember back when you were going to conquer something, and you were going to build something, and you were going to be something, and there was something that you just had to accomplish. You still feel that way? Well, what happened to you? Remember, Satan has a goal that you have no goals. Say, I don't like the word goal. Then use the word purpose. Satan's purpose is that you have no driving force or purpose for your life. Folks, life is more than just eat and sleep. We were left here to make something happen. So, number one, Satan has goals for your life. Number two, make your ultimate goal always to please God in all that you do. Make your ultimate goal to please God in all that you do. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord. What's it telling us? The first thing you do is keep your trust and your faith in God. Hey, some of you are going to make a mistake. You're going to set goals and leave God out of them. That's a mistake. That's a mistake. Let this thing of pleasing God in all that you do become one of your ultimate goals. Make it a lifelong goal. Hey, and so you know, if you say, okay, that's it, I am making it a lifelong goal to please God in all that I do, the only way that you're going to reach that lifelong goal is that you get up tomorrow and please God in all that you do. You'll accomplish that goal one day at a time. All other goals in life are to be built around this one initial starting goal. So tonight, if you say, well, preacher, tell you what, you're on point two, and if I know you, you've got about seven more points tucked in there. And preacher, I'm only setting one goal. Then you set this goal to please God in everything you do, because that is the foundation for all other goals. And where some of you have made mistakes in goals in life already, you set goals, but they were not built on the foundation of everything being done to please God. And so, first, most ultimate, most urgent goal for any life is to please God in all that we do. Then we build everything else upon that one foundational goal. Keep the pressure on yourself regarding that goal. I believe this. I think you young people that are unmarried, you probably have a goal to get married. Can I tell you something? Before you get a goal to get married, you better have a goal to please God at everything you do. Because you're not to marry who you want to marry. You're to marry who it would please God that you marry. I think every young person in here, well, young and old alike, if you're physically able, you ought to have a job or want a job. Oh, but wait a minute. You should not have a goal to get a job until you have the goal to please God in all that you do, or you'll go get a job that won't please God. And I want my job goal to be built on the foundation of the goal of pleasing God in all that I do. You say, I'm going to pick a career. Pick a career after you have made the goal of pleasing God in everything you do. If you put your goal before the goal of pleasing God, you'll mess up your life and you'll get out of God's will. So, make sure that, number one, you're reminded, Satan has a goal. One of his big goals for you is that you have no goals. Number two, your ultimate goal is to please God with everything you do. Now, number three, I would say one of the most important goals that you could set for your life is this. Set a goal to always do your best at everything. Now, if you're listening to me, I'm building something for you here. Set a goal to always do your best at everything you do. We are to give God the best. We're not to give God the leftovers. You know, God deserves your best. Your best, your best is not just for you. Your best ought to be for God. You know, if I were going to do my best for me, I might shortchange somebody. But if I'm going to do my best for God, then I'm going to give everything I have. Listen, Satan has a goal that you have no goals. You ought to have the ultimate goal of doing everything you do to please God. Next goal ought to be, and everything I do, I'll do my best. Now, you know, we could probably stop right there and all of you could succeed. Get a goal, please God in everything you do, and give it everything you've got. That's enough to get you along. That'll carry you for the rest of your life. And for some, you say, oh, I like that. Do your best. Do you know how lazy our society is? Do you know how unmotivated? Do you know how many people are not interested in doing their best, giving their best, running as fast as they can, and getting everything they can done, and accomplishing everything they're supposed to accomplish? Hey, when you do your best, that's good enough for God. Now, don't lie to yourself about what your best is. We'll lie to ourselves. Oh, I did my best. And I'm thinking, yeah, sure. Sure you did. That's just your self-pleasing, pacifying, own belly-rubbing, head-patting way of getting out of working harder. Listen, give your best. Did you know that God can't expect any more out of you or me than our best? But you are to give your best. So, Satan has a goal. It is that you have no goals. Make your ultimate goal to please God in everything you do. Then build on top of that the drive to do everything you do to the best of your ability. Now, let me give you some other ideas. Number four, set some lifetime goals. Young people, while you're young, there are some things that you ought to decide you're going to accomplish in your lifetime. Those of you that are middle-aged, older, too many of you, you bypassed or you passed some goals that you had. It's time to reset some goals. Okay, but young people, let me give you a challenge. Those of you that are married, stay married. Set it as a goal. Set it as a goal. Get married, stay married. Well, when I was just a kid, I decided I want to get married and stay married. Until death do us part, more than one time, Mrs. Owens was going to help me with that one. You're more apt to get married, stay married, if you decide to stay married. Tell you what else, you ought to set a goal to never get out of church. Never get out of church. Just decide, I'm going to set a goal, I never want to get out of church. Let me give you something else. This is important. Some of you need to set a goal that you're not going to become bitter in life. Life's going to kick you around. You're going to go through some tough times. You're going to get hurt. You ought to set a goal that you don't grow old and you're nasty and mean and vengeful and hateful. You ever met old people that just are as mean as a snake? I'm going to have to really work on this one. I don't want them pushing me around the nursing home going at everybody all the time. I'd like them to say, well, look at that little, I won't have hair then. It won't be gray. It'll be balding, good-looking old man over there. Look how pleasant he is. Now, folks, I'll tell you, this life is hard enough and the devil's mean enough. If you don't set a goal to keep a sweet spirit, and if you don't set a goal that you're going to make it through this mess without becoming a bitter, angry, hateful person, you're not going to make it. And some of you that have some of that in you right now, some of you that are 16 and you're already angry all the time, and some of you that are in your 20s and 30s and 40s and you're already angry all the time and hateful all the time, and you're already a bear to live with, I got got news for you. You are not going to make it to being a decent personality person when you're older. You ought to set a goal, a lifelong goal, not to be a fusser and a fighter and hateful when you're old. Some of you are almost there. Some of you almost locked into your ways. Time to set a goal to change it. Set goals, some long-term goals. Hey, I set this as a goal. Let no burden or heartache keep me down for long. A long time ago, I looked at the heartaches of life, and I said, they're going to come, and they're going to get me down some, but I don't plan to live there. I don't plan to stay there. I plan, I'll suffer, I'll have pain, but I set that as a goal. Set a goal to only have the mother-in-law over as often as you can tolerate her. It's a good goal. No. Now, listen. Some of you, you need to set some long-term goals. And I don't know what yours is, and in a minute I'll tell you a few of mine right at the end of the sermon, but I'll tell you this. You need some lifelong goals. And the younger you are when you set them, the more apt you are to reach them later on. Say, well, preacher, I set a couple of those, but I've already blown it. Then reset. You say, my first marriage, it got messed up. Okay, you know what I'd do? I'd make sure that you say, okay, I'm not going to mess this one up. Stick with it. I'm gonna last. This next one's gonna last. You say, look, set some long-term goals. Next. Let me see. Well, that point is lifetime goals. The next one is what I call long-term goals. I think there are some goals that kind of just take your lifetime to accomplish them. Now, there are some that are not lifetime, but they're long-term. It takes a little longer to get through them. And I think you ought to have some of those. For instance, a long-term goal, young people, is to graduate from high school. You'll have to forgive me. If you have a GED, God bless you. I'm glad you got that. Young people, graduate from high school. And you just have to put up with a preacher that believes that you can do that and you ought to do that. If your mom or your dad or your grandpa or somebody else got a GED, I'm not here to really talk about them. I think everybody that's got any sense would say, if you can do it, get it done. Don't take a shortcut. But look, and that ought to be your goal. Every young person. I can remember guys I went to high school with, they would say, oh, I can't wait till I'm 16. I'm going to quit school. If I would have even thought that, if my dad would have thought that I was thinking that, I wouldn't be here to tell you about it. My dad wasn't going to have anything to do with that kind of thinking. No, graduate. Now, that is a goal that takes some long-term investment. The minute you get that done, and there's some of you ought to set a goal going to college and graduating from college. I would say some of you need the goal to work as long and as hard as it's going to take to pay off your bills. Some people almost give up on that. Don't give up on that. Set the goal. Their parents in here and young people in here ought to set the goal to raise your children right in church. Set it as a goal in life. And I wish I could motivate some of you to set a goal of paying your mortgage off as soon as you can. Put a few extra bucks away on that thing. You know, a few extra dollars on the principal payment of your mortgage will save you years and years and years. But what are these? They're long-term goals. There are some goals that are lifetime goals. There are some that are long-term goals. Now, stay with me. Some of you need to get some short-term goals. See, short-term goals added together helps us to reach our long-term and our lifetime goals. Achieving your short-term goals keep you encouraged while you're striving for the long-term and the lifetime. I'll tell you how you graduate from high school. You get through this semester. So how do you get through this semester? You get through the week. You get through the day. You pass the next test. So if you want to achieve the long-term goal of graduating from high school, you're going to have to take it a semester at a time. So that's a good short-term goal. So I say, I want to graduate from high school. Well, to graduate from high school, I got to get to the 12th grade, which means I've got to make it to the 11th grade, which means I've got to make it through the 10th grade, which means I got to make it through the 9th grade, all the way down to kindergarten. We're going to have to get you potty trained and learn how to play sandbox, and you're going to have to do that with some sort of aggression and success. You start where you are, and you make it to the next step. You say, well, some of those long-term goals seem impossible. Just work your way backwards to where you're at right now and get through today. And then when you get to tomorrow, set a goal of getting through tomorrow. And we look at the massiveness of a long-term or a lifetime goal, and we say, how in the world? Well, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. God will provide what you need for tomorrow, tomorrow. He has given you grace sufficient enough for today, today. You want to reach the long-term goal of paying your mortgage off early? Pay each month on time. You want to stay in church all your life? Then you better stay in church right now. You say, I want to be faithful to church when I am older. Then you're going to have to be faithful to church now. You can't reach that long-term goal. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Now, some of you've already set some goals in life, and congratulations, you achieved them. You achieved them. That's a dangerous time in life. It's a dangerous time in life when we have achieved. Graduate from high school. Very dangerous time for a high schooler. I graduated. They can get off track. Because something they have worked for 12, 13 years, now they're there. Oh, get a new goal. Get a new goal very, very quickly. Hey, let me give you something. Dangerous time when your last child leaves home. Because a lot of parents pull together and they'll rear kids for 19 or 20 years and they pull together and say, we're going to work through this and we want our son or we want our daughter to have mom and dad in the same home and we're going to pull together. And boy, when that last child leaves the nest, then mom and dad, who hardly even know each other anymore because they've been taxi cab and a banker and everything but knowing one another, it's a dangerous time when you're an empty nester. Why? You had a goal that took 19 or 20 years to reach that goal. Now you've reached that goal, and if you're not careful, you will become aimless and goalless. You say, well, what do I do about that? Make sure you set that goal to stay married for the rest of your life. That one will carry you beyond the rearing of the children. So there's short-term, there's long-term, and there's lifelong goals and dreams. You say, I failed at one of my goals. Well, get some new ones. I'm almost finished, but stay with me. Some of you need to set some goals about your weaknesses. This is a kind of sermon that you say, well, I thought we need this at New Year's Eve. No, we need things like this all the time. There are people in here, you need to set some goals about your temper. There's somebody in here, you need to set some goals about your impatience. Some of you need to set some goals about your insecurities. Somebody in here needs to set a goal about not being late to everything, learning to be prompt. Somebody in here needs to set some goals about your character flaws, your doubting. Somebody in here, you need to set a goal about your vice, whether it's smoking, drinking, drugs, whatever your vice is. Set a goal. Decide to do something about it. Fix some frustration in your life. I'd recommend that somebody in here set a goal of balancing your checkbook. Balance that thing. Stop wasting time. I'll guarantee you there's a handful of people in here. It's time for you to set a goal about your finances. Get it under control. Learn how to properly spend your money. Learn how to save a little money. Learn how to use your money. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've watched people that struggle with their finances in their 20s, and then you find out they're struggling with their finances in their 30s, then you find out they're struggling with their finances in their 40s, and then you find out they're struggling with their finances in their 50s, and how old do you have to be before you're going to learn your lessons? You're going to take that weakness all the way to your grave with you? And just so you know, I have a lot of people's attention right now. I stumbled onto a juicy one here. Most financial problems are not the amount of money made. It's how people handle what they have. I know people that make $200,000 to $250,000 that are having a hard time financially, and I know people that are making $30,000 that are paying all their bills. Now, what's the difference? It's not the amount of money. It is who's in charge of the money and how the money's handled. But somebody needs to set some goals. Look, when you're 80 and you say, well, time for me to get it together with my finances, you might have waited a little longer than what you should have. Could you be honest with yourself? You are still struggling with the same weaknesses you used to have. Take a good look at yourself. When's the last time you grabbed a hold of one of your character flaws and shrunk it and said, that's it. I'm not taking this thing to my grave. I am not going to deal with this weakness in my life forever. I am going to have victory. And I'm not saying that to take it on as an arrogant thing. Conquer something that's weak in your life. But the average person in here, you're struggling with the same thing you struggled with 15 years ago. Don't you think it's time to get a hold of it and do something about it? Set some goals spiritually. Read your Bible. Somebody needs to set a goal to read your Bible all the way through. Somebody needs to set a goal to pray daily. Somebody needs to set a goal to start witnessing. Somebody needs to set a goal that you'll tithe and give in offerings like you're supposed to. Somebody needs to set a goal about getting involved in church. And these are spiritual goals that you could set for your life. Somebody, you need to fix some area backsliding in your life. Set a goal. You say, I said it, I failed. Get up and try again. I'm going to take about 4 or 5 minutes. I'm going to tell you some goals that I have. I have some personal goals. I want to work on my temper. It's better than it used to be, but it's not as good as what it needs to be. I want to work on my temper. I want to get closer to my grown children. We've grown apart because we all have gone our separate ways. And I know that's normal. But I just want to make sure there's not so much distance that we don't know each other. I want to prepare for old age for Mrs. Owens. I want to properly prepare financially and physically. I don't want to go into my old age not taking care of my health like I ought to. I want to be around as long as I possibly can. Those are some of my personal goals. I've got a couple spiritual goals. I want to work on my soul winning. I want to write a book. I'll tell you this. I want my heart to do more healing from all the scars that I have for the many years I've been in the ministry. And until you've done what I do for 35 years at the level that I've done it, you would not understand. And I just have made the decision, I've got to heal more over some of the battles and the war scars that I have from having been in the ministry for these 35 years. So I have some personal goals. I have some spiritual goals. I have some goals for our church. I want another building. I set that goal a long time ago. I want to start new bus routes. I want to start a senior citizen ministry. I want to start a ministry to minister to the families and the children, teenagers, and adults that have special needs. I want them to know that they're welcome in our church. I want to start more Sunday school classes. I want, before I die, I want our church to have a Bible Institute where we can have another level of teaching and training for our church people. I want more special music groups. I would like to start, and I believe this would go over great in our area, I want to start a ministry reaching the Oriental people. You say, why? I love egg rolls. I want to start a ministry to reach the Spanish people. I want to start a ministry to reach the deaf people. If you only knew all the goals I have for your money, How old will I be, honey? 55? I'll be 55. I'll be 55 years of age here in just a few weeks. I've worked and built 2 or 3 ministries in my lifetime. I don't want to coast to the end. I have some goals. You ought to have some goals. You say, well, who should have goals? Anybody that's sucking air. There's some of you, you don't have goals. You're a little aimless. You're just kind of treading water. Get some goals. I love the verse about Daniel. And the Bible says But Daniel purposed in his heart. He purposed. What did he do? He set a goal. Daniel, I believe, one of the elements that made Daniel a great man is that Daniel set a goal. It started in his heart. It was a goal to please God. He gave his best. And I think Daniel fulfilled God's will for his life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Somebody here tonight, you need to purpose in your heart. That word goal is not in the Bible. We know that. It's desire. It's purpose. What is it? It's striving. There are many words that are equal to goal in the Bible. What are you striving for? What is your purpose? What do you desire to accomplish? Who here tonight would promise God that you'll pick a few goals, spiritual, long-term, short-term, but you'll pick a few goals that you'll reach for God with His help? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. I hope you will. We're going to have a very brief altar call. If you die tonight and you don't know you'd go to heaven, let me tell you something. The goal of the devil is that you stay lost and stay on your way to hell. If you need to be born again, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Some of you ought to come here and get on your knees and take a moment and say, Lord, you know what? I don't have any spiritual goals. I need some. Help me. But remember, if you're only going to make one goal tonight, make it to please God in everything you do. You say, I'll make two. Then make it to please God in everything you do. And number two, you're going to give your best at everything you do. That'll carry you the rest of the way. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? You come. There's some young people. You need to come and make a commitment to God about the rest of your life. Some goals need to be made when you're young. But wait a minute. You say, I'm in my senior years. What goals do you have in your senior years? You might retire from the automotive industry, but you can't retire from God because we're going to serve God no matter how old we are. You'll be around a lot longer in life if you have a purpose. When older people lose their purpose, when older people lose their drive, their determination, when they lose some type of a goal, they restrict their life and shorten it, I believe. Ushers have the prayer bulletins, and in case someone didn't get a statement on the finances, have those ready. We'll pass through them very quickly. Thank you, Sarah. Folks, go ahead and have a seat.